for them, for the time of worship for them. Thank God for bringing my Hakamah to back home. And thank God for this wonderful peace. And we're going to be hearing more about her life. Amen. The Lord wants to speak to us this morning. Amen. I guess sometimes when the Lord sets you free from something in some ways, that doesn't mean you're ignorant of the need for it. Amen? But God does that before He can truly trust you with things that He set you free from to be a blessing. What do I mean by that? Whenever we come to this place, there is a price to hear from the Lord. I see there is a thousand people here. And the Lord has set me free from looking at a crowd. He says, raise up men and women of God. Raise up disciples. If 200 people out of this place get what you're saying, they will change. They say. And yes, God has those people here. And yes, this city will change.
Amen.
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 When you understand the ways God works, He sets you free from the things that pressure people to bypass God's processes. Amen. So when we come here, what you're hearing is really to make you all that God has for you. Amen. And so not always whatever we see and we saw here. Just know that God wants to speak to you and God wants to use you. The day will come, and this is not just make believe. There are other areas that God has tested this, and it's true in my life. The day will come when you'll be tired of that crowd that you so much want to see to make you feel like God is doing something. God needs 12 people. God needs to walk with a remnant of people to prepare them for the crowd. Amen? And the days of the crowd are before us. This morning I want you to be sensitive because God wants to speak to you personally. I don't think this was like it. I did hear from Tom Bates. Tom, come and read something from me this morning. Hallelujah. It's going to be the story of Christmas for us. If you remember anything, I want to call it Christ's legacy. I want to talk to you this morning about Christ's legacy. Amen? Not His master, His legacy. So I'll ask Tom to read. If you don't read the Bible, you can put it on the screen. It's going to be for us from Luke chapter 2 all the way to verse 1 to verse 20.
This year the church and all the
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed from Mary, his espoused wife, being pregnant with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The angels announced Jesus to the shepherds. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when eight days were accomplished,
Amen. Thank you so much, God. Amen. Can you say it to yourself? I was born to be a good news to my generation.
I was born to be a good news to my generation.
Very few people believe it. Let's see if everybody believes it. I was born to be good news to my generation.
I was born to be good news to my generation.
Amen. The Bible says he was born, and the news was a good news. Amen. Now, what we just read has been now for the woman. 2,000 years. This is not a story. It's the reality. Amen? And we are reading the testament of the memorial of it. So, every year we talk about the time of the birth of Christ, the death of Christ, resurrection, the life of Christ, these various seasons that we memorize. I always ask them, what am I taking from this season as a memorial? What do I need to leave? What will this season do for me? Because it's already happened. It's a memorial, but it's still happening. What does this do to me? So that it's not just another memorial. That's what I do in every season. Say, God, I need you to speak to me. This very moment is one of the most high moments in the world. Is one of the most momentum building season in the whole world. A certain moment you begin and you build to us, and immediately the festivities over, it's like people go back again to their normal life as if nothing happened. But the excitement that it is everywhere in the world brings an awareness. So, what will make this season not just be about the kids, about the food, about the excitement? What will make this season be an addition of why Jesus came in my life? We have this Sunday, If this doesn't finish this morning, we'll continue this. But we just read this story. And I want to read to you why I call it Christ Legacy. The meaning of legacy is, a legacy is the story of someone's life, the things they did, places they went, goals they accomplished, their failures, their success, and more. Legacy is something that a person leaves behind to be remembered by. Legacies are pathways that guide people in the decisions, the directions with which what to do or what not to do. Legacy is the form of an inheritance. Christ legacy. If somebody leaves you a legacy, or somebody leaves you an inheritance at the cost of their whole life's wealth, maybe property, maybe money, maybe memorial abilities, estates, whatever they leave for you, it is left to you, it's yours. Is their legacy for their whole life. And for some reason, you live the rest of your life and never live. Or maybe you live, but never walked in that inheritance. How will a person feel? Of what use will it benefit you that you came out of that person's blood, or you were that person's son or daughter? Someone walked all their lives, paid an awesome price, suffered beyond measure, and died as saints. Because you are my blood, this is my legacy. That you will have to suffer what I suffer, but inherit what I left for you, so that you can keep my legacy, my testimony. That's the worship. This is a verse of mine. So they are different from the definition of legacy and the definition of the wife someone left and left us to inherit or to possess or to work in. So there are different levels of this person's legacy, Christ's legacy. So in this particular season, there are other seasons, we are mostly reminded of the legacy of his birth. The places, the atmosphere, the circumstances, the situations, everything surrounding his birth, we are being reminded of it in this season. It's a legacy. Why is it a legacy? Why is it something we need to inherit? God does not do anything without intentionality. God is a God with high level intention. It's not only high level intention. God only manifests on earth that which is already there. So the work of Christ is not a circumstance, it's a message, it's a legacy. It's something for us to inherit. First of all, from this story, and before this story, there were activities surrounding the brothers. Heaven was active on earth about his brothers. And then, while the moon for 9 months, somebody taken responsibility for it. And now a period, a moment came for this to be delivered, for it to be over. It's not a coincidence. God will rearrange things to make sure that the son will go in the paths. If you do anything, all 70, you can make sure that some of all. He did it for Moses, just to show you that he can put anybody everywhere. He took Moses from the river and put him in the palace as a king's son. He did anything, but God wanted to be an honor. He wanted to give a legacy for people who aspire to be great. And who people who live their life will leave the legacy of their name even after the passing. What is the legacy of the body of Christ beyond all the food and the names? Because Herod is very intentional. We must understand here is this. This was the king that Herod's decision has been made. God was going to leave the heavens, the word of God, to become flesh, to manifest in the earth. And he was to be born from God. A king. He will leave a king. He will die on the cross a king. He will be raised up a king. So immediately that is about to be released into the earth is a king. And we will never be short of being a king. But to our heart, God wanted to show us the wisdom of how kings ought to behave in the earth. Not natural kings. So, first, I was going to ask questions, but during this time. First, you read the story. He was born in a circumstance, in an environment, in a situation that he had no place. He was out of pressure, there was no need, there was no place for him. Look at that song, maybe did you know? If people knew, the innkeepers, the people around you, who that person is, they will sleep outside and let the child be born inside. First, never despise people from out of their parents. Never take anybody, any human being for granted. A king was born and nobody knew enough to give him the peace. While he shows what is a man, by human nature, we don't have the capacity to do what is right. Christ, very disappointed at the very difficult place, in the bad situation, and the first thing Jesus experienced from the womb was rejection. Rejected from them. This whole world gave the poorest environment to live in. When the Bible says, Jesus says, he became poor so that he would be rich. He was wrapped up in destroys that ship's limit and margin. That's where they fold it. They put their cloth in it. That's where the king was born. You read it in nature. The first thing I'm going to tell you, the circumstances surrounding your birth, the situation surrounding how you came into this world, the circumstances surrounding your parents, every situation that surrounded your world has been nullified by the blood of Christ. And the limit to who you can be has been taken away.
Amen.
Kings can be born in any form or shape, any situation. A king can come through that. I don't believe before Christ, I don't know how many people's children were born in that situation. So, do not let anybody tell you, because you're born this way, you're born that way, and put a limitation.
Sister, we say we need to be called.
This story has a lot to do with your parts. This child that was born, why human beings yet could comprehend who he is, heaven was celebrating his manifestation on earth. Amen. Angels were rejoicing. Angels were crying that this child is to bring good news. We don't know about it. Now, to fast forward to other days, this same child was born. Spiritual king, eventually will be physical king forever. The atmosphere that surrounds his birth was witnessed by both heaven and God and earth. In other words, from the stories we read, God wants us to look back, because this realm has to do with us. God wants us to look back at the birth of Christ. While heaven was rejoicing, the moment the kings of the earth, specifically heaven, heard that another king was born, even at a young age, it shook the very throne of earthly thrones. My brothers and sisters, Jesus has not yet grown. Jesus is not saying anything. Jesus has not done anything, but is already a threat to the powers that be. Why? Because he was born a king. He was born the royal law. He was born to manifest dominion and power over the earth. Amen. Again, at a young age, his life was threatened to be destroyed. At a young age, his parents took him and they fled for their lives. At a young age, he was already suffering persecution. Amen? So that's, let's just stop there this month. Now, legacy, inheritance, about birth. My brothers and sisters, I just want to be honest with you. When I got born again, here in America, I really asked myself a question. Exactly, I understood why Nicodemus asked the question. He was a professor, was a theologian, he wasn't stupid. He was asking a very, very, very clever question. He says, what does it mean to him, somebody go back to his mother's womb and born again. His name is a living thing. And the questions I ask myself when I get saved, this says right now, we ask confession. And Jesus said, this part is different from the natural birth. And the legacy of the natural birth will always be different from the legacy of the spiritual birth. Legacy will leave you an inheritance. And the questions, if you really need to receive the answer for the questions, that means you have no choice but God will use your life as a change agent. So, I want to read something to you again. Again, in line with the word of Jesus, or how this relates to us. Because you can't just let this season just go by with just chicken and banana bread. Jeremiah chapter 1. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm going to read to you from verse 4. The Bible says this. It says, they that walk of the word to be saved. Verse 5. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, in the bed, I knew you. And before thou came forth out of the womb, I set you apart. I sanctified you. I appointed thee to be a prophet of nations. I have a job for you while you are in the earth. I have a purpose for what I've sent you and what to accomplish. This is one of the things in my. So when Jesus came, the Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was that word. And that word was with God, and that word was God. And that word, verse 14, says, became flesh. And we're talking about how he started the process. So in Jeremiah's words, Jesus was born before he was conceived. And before he was conceived, even angels came to talk about his conception and his birth. Meaning, they were telling him what it would be. The prophecy to John the Baptist's father was repeating that he would be a follower. John the Baptist would be a follower. So the whole life of Jesus was already before he was conceived. And way back in the book of Isaiah, he talks about the virgin that will give birth. He talks about the government that will be upon his shoulders. And he will come to be a man. Amen? So this is what we can and talk about him. But now the season came for God to take his plan, his purpose, in heaven and put it in a woman's womb and then deliver it to the earth. Amen?
Amen.
And this legacy we are reading, my brothers and sisters, is no different from the day we believe. It's the same word in God. Is the same true of God, is the same DNA, is the same seed, and is the same Holy Spirit. Jesus seen everything. The Bible says when one person gets it, the angels will be able to peace. My brothers and sisters, there is a reason why Jesus fed thousands of people, healed thousands of people, multitudes, but he was able to transfer 12 people to think like him, be like him, and be ready to be empowered to change. Discipleship is transforming somebody to become like somebody. There are three things God revealed to Jeremiah in the scripture. And these three things Jesus left for us as a legacy. For everyone that will eventually become like him. For whom Paul said, he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the same image of his son. Image of his DNA. The same thing. Not the carbon copy. Same. Corn produces corn. Dogs do not the dogs. God gives birth to children of God by his word. So, the thing is that he let us hear from Jeremiah that Jesus manifested as an example and a seed for all generations is this. Jeremiah said, one, he must understand the Ukraine. Thank you. Deus é o O cara é mais colocado as limitas de Deus. Gostei de mais.
Once they become this world,
physical life. Paul is not saying the physical life. He says their purpose, their destiny, their origin, the reason for it in the world, because all the world is beside. Prepare, or so far, what it takes to prepare for the calling, if you don't know what it is. And so many people don't understand what it means to be a disciple. Discipleship without a discipline or training can never be a major disciple. If you are not a student or an engineer or a teacher or a worker, you are not a teacher. And you know the reason for that purpose, you will not endure the what it takes to go through the training. Thank you. All these students are enduring the thought. And I think it's right. Why? They are the golden man. One day that graduate. One day that graduate. And this will happen. Jesus was not stupid to die for sinners. He was God. He came in the flesh. The Bible says, what was the example? What was he ever threatened? Everyone was threatened. Satan was threatened. He knew this is the seed of that woman. That will be destroyed and my place in his name forever. What is the legacy of Jesus? If Herod was a vessel of sin and a heart, that one is the king who grew to become what he's called to do. He knows. And what did he do? He was desperate in what he was arrested. He said, kill every child from now till about 2 years ago before when I had this. If anybody, knowing what he has heart in that, can only be him, can only be them. To kill the cry of the children from Rama to them. Why would he ever do that? Why would Satan do that? Because of the fact that he knows somebody is given that endangering the room. Where he's from, he knows who he is, and he knows what he's here to do. My brothers and sisters, if you know these 3 things, you are being tried. So, the devil doesn't fight the birth of Jesus because he's ultimate. And he's our father, is everything. It was from God, the seed, is everything. He, the devil, did everything to stop. From the time he was born to the time he was on the cross. But everything the devil did, not only by fire, he propelled the fulfillment of the vision because Jesus knew this secret. And the secret is, from a very old age, Jesus wasn't playing games. Even by the age of 12, he understood his lesson. My brothers and sisters, the devil only changes tactics. What he did with Jesus from this legacy is an example. But what he does with us is different. The because Jesus was born by the Virgin. So he's not born up for death, but for raised after 10 years into the fullness of Christ. But the devil knows our situation is different. He knows we are going to be born into already a disobedient nature, into already an Adamic rebellious nature. So he knows this is what we accept. We are going to focus so much on this flesh. We are going to so much try to achieve our success on this flesh. We are going to want so much by sight. So he said, "The brother, I'm not going to fight and try to. I'm just going to steal. I'm just going to come and steal the identity. Steal the acknowledgement of their senses. I'm going to make them so ignorant of this legacy. I'm going to distract them so much that by the time they leave this world, with this man, they will not in any way think about what I'm doing in this world." My brothers and sisters, I ask the Lord this question, and I was like, I'm so tired. I said, when I was asking, am I really for you? Explain this body again then. Who am I? What is this answer? But why? Why am I strong? Why do I have to? Why I can see this? I'm not getting my choice this. Then the Lord started explaining something to me. He used the word of God and used a pregnant woman to explain to me. But I won't go into it right now. Use the word of God to show something. He says, and this one thing which you can go home and read about, this is the word of Christ, but this is our love as we raise the word of Christ. Galatians chapter 4, 1-7, you see what I'm about to tell you. But the best thing to show is the word of God. God says, from the beginning, when the Bible says to the man, before you were conceived in your bosom, I knew. So, we don't know that there is a God. But then this is the word of God. God is saying, before the word of life becomes the word of life, God says, I knew you. I knew you. I told you a butterfly. I will be for you to fly to the beautiful God has seen because of the glory that was set for you to enjoy the cross. Exactly what the Lord of Man will like. But when God called the butterfly and started the process, like we now remember again, the butterfly wasn't that with wings. The butterfly was not with claws. The butterfly was not flying. This part has been one. Like something that is absolutely has no similarity to the world of life, you see. But that's what God says. That's what God says. My God says, you will be a butterfly. Now, God is saying, I am born again. I am born into a royal priesthood. I am born, and what is the kingdom? I was trying to do all that. It wasn't me working. And God says, the butterfly doesn't find me still a woman. When I called you and I came back to you, you are under an invitation. The butterfly is in this thing called the cocoon. What is the purpose of the cocoon? To make and to shape and to produce the butterfly. That's what trials, that's what troubles, that's what Moses went through, that's what Joseph, that's what Israel went through. He trained to manifest the character that was in you. That's the training of faith. So, the butterfly goes to this. It's called mental process. Go study the Bible. the more discipleship. Study the Bible, the more be you transformed. Be not conformed to so be transformed. It's the same language in Greek and Hebrew with the verses. The stages of spiritual growth. To the place Paul says, to be into the stature and the fullness of the nation of Christ. That will be no more children who have come to the place of nature. That's why the conference is one of people that are willing to do this. He doesn't have a problem touching them. So God says, He sees a lot of life, but there are stages. And this woman won't let this thing go, this one, those two stages, he won't let it go without saying to this caterpillar, and then he finds his way. Caterpillar, it's going to look like a waterfall. But is it really going to look like? The DNA is there. And I'm very sorry. This thing from nowhere, after this pressure is in, begins to produce all kinds of things. And all of a sudden, this thing comes out of the body. And this butterfly now begins to fly. That's the step. Discipleship without a test of discipline is a waste of time. There is no profession, there is no space or endeavor that does not contain discipline. Discipline means a consistent, persevering process of submitting, accelerating, doing something until you come into that place of fulfillment and fruition. Every aspect of life requires discipline. That's what training is. It's not for in the church. That's why this remembrance of the Bible is taught. My brothers and sisters, Jesus knew who he was. Read everything about Jesus. He says Jesus when he is part of the church. Jesus sat. Jesus did everything. He was a carpenter son. He did everything. He confirmed. No, he was. No, he's a king. No, what is going to do? But he had to fulfill the training and the discipline of coming to maturity. So, he just saw what they were doing. He fulfilled every scripture according to the book of the Bible. The laws of Moses. That is pain. When he passed all that, and the time came, God says, now, 10 years, you are my son. Now, fulfill the assignment. What discipline does to our life is what the Bible wants to qualify. Discipline is a good way to build strength. In today's world, the place that fights the most and is actually eventually put into war in this nation, and it is a program destroyed by the United Nations to control the war and bring us under the curse, under the curse of righteousness. The war that is. When you see what we're facing into this world, it was already planned by them. Long time to remove discipline in others. To remove discipline in schools. To remove discipline in church. To remove anything discipline. And on this new generation is an independent generation. Everybody does what is right in his minds. That's what America is. Remove the Bible, remove this, remove prayer, remove anything that will promote righteousness, promote discipline. Look at what is happening with families today. Parents cannot talk to their children. Because now they've been trained that delights. Think of the words. God has given you this to be rich with. Now, I'm not talking about abuse of the sin. I'm just talking about one truth. In Hebrews, it says, a child in that discipline manifested the rebellious heart. It's called master. The Bible is important. What does it mean? It means, it's a child that has a father. The reading of that is the last time. What does that mean? The court discipline is your son. Our testified ability to keep us in life is successful to face future because the same. But God says that. Everything God has called us to do is a test to account. And we want to change the world. And we want to make a promise. So, in conclusion, continue this week. This season reminds me unconsciously. If he did not like the birth of Christ, then he doesn't like it. If he tried to kill Christ, what is he trying to do? To steal, to kill him, is to cause him, one, to lose reality of life by the end. Who am I from? Who am I? What is my purpose? What is my part? If I don't understand these things, I'm definitely distracted. I'm going to achieve God's final moment. I believe that you're better Christian than I am. That's why I'm saying to you, don't despise your gift. Please, I listened to some group that you said, I always wonder why did they share this tomorrow? This brother is in the house. He will never speak a message without speaking with our four testimonies. Can you hear them? Always say, who is the purpose of testimony? Testimony identifies that not just a little bit more change. This is the place. When I used to do a business, I take a machine. I used to sell what they call a cold machine. I don't know if it's still in the market. And when I go to somebody's house, I will tell them about this machine. Amen? They listen to me in their mind and say, what's the name of the house? I will be nice to their dogs and do all this stuff, I will sell the machine. After I do all that, they will listen. But then I will say, do you have a vacuum machine in the house yet? They will bring their own machine. I will put the machine. They are more machines that will vacuum the same spot 10 times. 10 times the same spot. As you see, how many times have you been saying 10? I bring my coffee machine, put the thing like the wire thing on top, and just use the coffee once on that place. And that white thing I put on there is colored black from the dust that came out. It's a gimmick, but it works. Little dots that are covered in white. Those people can be taken that dots now, but I put an ice cream there, they just. And they say, wow, wow, how much is it? Demonstration makes you believe. Amen? Yes. So testimonies are evidence that this is true. What I've shown to you. Nobody I know of you, nowhere will go. But I can taste that the Spirit of God has given it over this natural world. A little I have trained myself to live by this thing will. God has let me taste the name of the Lord in this age. And it's so for me. It works. The Spirit of God has this gift. It's called to prove. Is called to influence the generation. So as we celebrate this season, we're going to have a good time this Christmas. Amen? Amen. don't know the God of this place. Where will Jesus and the wisdom of it? But that's the first part. Amen. The rest will be one of the things. The medicine of his mouth should always be right. We are not just natural. We are called as glory becomes. Let us live to achieve that reality. Amen. Let's go to God. Thank you so much. Father, I thank you for reminding us that this season is not about us, but it's about you. Father, let your birth remind us we have an enemy. He wants to kill our beliefs, to honest him, and to lean out against him. Father, we have come and we want this light, honestly, and the walking light. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord God. Have you made our lives? And we will be all you call us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.